welcome to the Elevated Visibility Podcast, the podcast for female founders who are looking for more than just easy marketing tips and feel-good strategy and craving deep connection. I'm your host, Nina Gibson, holistic SEO expert and visibility enthusiast who is hell-bent on giving women a voice and a platform to use it. In this space, we chat all things SEO and marketing for your brand and business, but we also peel back the layers and the bullshit and dive deep into what it means to feel visible as business owners, women, moms, and more. If you're ready for holistic marketing strategy mixed in with some soulful storytelling, this podcast is for you. Welcome. Okay, I am so excited to have you guys here on the Consistency Corner and the Elevated Visibility Podcast. For those of you who are normal Elevated Visibility listeners and don't know me, I'm Ruthie Starrett, the host of the Consistency Corner podcast. And today, Nina and I are bringing you a special dual episode to announce something really exciting that we have been collaborating on, along with Kristen Fisher of Shop Boku. We, you know, together, we're in a mastermind, and the power of collaboration and working together, it's something that we're all, I think, really passionate about. And we all have a shared background in the retail space. And as we would work together and kind of ideate on our own individual businesses in, you know, content creation and product assortment and digital marketing and all sorts of things, our love for retail always came back. And as we were working together, we thought, gosh, wouldn't it be awesome if we could do something together to really lean on one another and leverage everybody's strengths to support other women in retailer? And as we looked around the space and social media, it feels like there's a lot of support and there's a lot of resources for service-based businesses, but that product-based businesses were kind of like getting left out, or they weren't being given the same level of expertise, the same community, and the same support that we were seeing for service-based entrepreneurs. So we had this idea to come together and create some space at a table for product-based businesses. And that is where the Retailer Roundtable was born. So you guys who listen to the Consistency Corner, you know me. I'm Ruthie Starrett. I am a branding and content strategist with a retail background. I've worked in the retail space for 15 years, over 15 years probably now, as I'm remembering how old I am. But I would love to introduce my co-hosts today, Nina Gibson from Nina Gibson Co. and Kristen Fisher from Shop Boku. Nina, can you tell us a little bit about your background really quick?
Yeah, so I am a holistic SEO expert and visibility strategist. I, like Ruthie, have been in the digital marketing space for over 15 years now with a strong background in e-commerce and retail digital marketing. And I'm super excited that we are doing this trio podcast, so fun, and really excited that we could all get together to chat today.
Yes. So Kristen, what about you? You are the founder of Shop Boku, but tell us a little bit about what led you to that.
Well, as I was sitting here listening to both of you, I just realized, so we all three have 15 years individually of experience. We have 45 flipping years of experience that we are pulling together. This is awesome. So I also have 15 years of experience on the corporate retail side, and I spent the majority of that time as a buyer. I also dabbled in design and product development and sourcing. And additionally, I have had 4 years of experience, as Ruthie noted, as an owner of an e-com store myself. So I'm just so excited to bring this retail powerhouse together with the three of us.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, as we talked about resources for product-based businesses, I think a lot of this idea came from Kristen's even own growing pains with being an e-commerce, you know, solopreneur and starting Shop Boku. So Kristen, as your business scaled and you left your corporate position and you went into Boku full-time, can you kind of paint a picture for us about last holiday and what holiday season looked like for you?
Yes, I certainly can. I think, you know, having the corporate retail background, holiday Q4 time period is always crazy, but it's a whole different beast whenever you are a small product-based business owner. Whether you have one person working for you or 10, you're really wearing all the hats and you're really feeling all the pressure. And for me personally, I 10 out of 10 would not recommend this, to work in corporate retail full-time while also having your own retail business. However, I walk away from that with a ton of learning. I had to be really productive, really streamlined. I experienced a lot of pain points where I was just burning the midnight oil, working until 3 a.m. to get orders out, especially during COVID, when the little bit of help I had the year before, I couldn't have in 2020. And I know so many retailers felt those pains. But what I've really learned is the power of having a plan going into Q4 is what makes or breaks your quarter. And, you know, there's two different types of stress. With Q4, you're always going to have stress, right? That's kind of a given in just this retail world. But there is the negative stress where it just feels out of control. You feel overwhelmed. And then there's the positive stress, meaning you walk into the quarter with a plan, you have a sales plan, you have an idea of what you need to do to get there. And I think what's so exciting is that I've had this idea to put something together as a support for retailers for Q4 for a little bit, but I wasn't quite sure what that would look like. And then when I met the two of you in our community, in our mastermind, and we just were brainstorming and talking about this, I realized this is going to be so flipping awesome because I have all these ideas of things that I can help retailers with from a sales planning perspective, from a product and inventory perspective, a process perspective. But the two of you have the visibility and the content and the outreach perspective that is just going to pull this all together. And that, I think, is the most powerful plan to eliminate stress in Q4. And that's what I think I really am just so pumped to pull together.
Yeah. You know, I love what you said about there's good stress and not so good stress. And
right.
You're right. The good stress is like, oh my gosh, I got 100 orders. Or, hey, I have happy customers who are, you know, waiting for the thing that we just put up on our website. And that's the type of stress that you want to almost, I don't want to say enjoy, but you want to be able to enjoy during the holidays because you know that the other things, your marketing plan, your content plan, you've taken care of. You've taken the time and invested the time earlier in the year so that you have that buttoned up so that that stress is off of your plate at that time.
Right.
And then you can focus on the other things that are going on during the holiday hustle and the season of the busiest time of the year. You know, you talked about having a plan and getting ahead of the game with your product assortment and things like that. And we'll dive into, you know, how Kristen helps profitability perspective and making sure that your assortment is not just stuff that you like, but stuff that will actually make you money. Cause at the end of the day, like, that's why we're all here.
Yeah.
For many other reasons, but that's one of the reasons we do need to get compensated. But, you know, talking about working ahead and planning ahead, that was something that Nina really helped me with. And we had an opportunity to collaborate together for one of my clients. And we started talking in March about what our Q4 long form content topics were going to be. And Nina, you've got, you know, like you said, years of corporate e-commerce experience. Can you talk about the power of working ahead when it comes to visibility?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the big thing about planning ahead is A, not only do you have that runway to be able to create the content and you're not cramming it in along with all of the other things that Kristen was talking about that retailers face last minute, because there are always things, websites crash, inventory issues, things like that always pop up. So when you plan ahead and you have that content done, it's done. You don't even need to worry about it. October rolls around. Your gift guides, they're already done. Maybe you make a few minor adjustments based on inventory changes or what have you, but it's all set and ready to go. And I think that people always think about Q4 as being in it versus planning ahead for it. And I think some of that comes from being a consumer, to be honest, right? We have this consumer mindset even in our own businesses. But yeah, when you give yourself that runway, not only do you have the ability to sort of sit back and be like, okay, all of my Q4 planning is done. But you also know that your content is going to have that much more impact because you've had the time to think it through, create that longer form quality content that's so great for SEO, and you're not doing it last minute. So,
yeah. I mean, you just shared with me about, and you mentioned gift guides, that the sooner your gift guide is done, the sooner you're going to get traction on it. And it doesn't mean that it can't evolve, that it can't change, that you can't add things to it, that you can't swap things out. But to have that framework and that like initial, okay, these are my top 10 products, or these are our core 6 volume drivers, or whatever it is, so that you can start creating content around that, it's just going to help with your consistency so much as you get into the holiday season.
Exactly. And the thing is, too, when you have that framework or a template, you can repurpose that year after year after year. So
yeah.
That's the other thing is you don't always have to create from scratch every single year. And that's another benefit of sort of giving yourself that runway. You can spend time creating a template that you can use. And of course, tweak, like you said, over time, but it's going to serve you for the long term versus trying to come up with something new every single year.
Yeah. I think that framework piece is something that as a consumer or as maybe even a business owner of a smaller business, we don't always realize that if we can use templates and frameworks, it just makes our lives easier. And I think back to my early retail days of I was a visual merchandising manager for Victoria's Secret. And I remember every single holiday, holiday one, it was like some sort of celestial stars, glittery, like that was the ideation for the product assortment. And I realized like after a couple of years, like, oh, it's a framework. Like they're doing this over and over again because it makes everybody's life a little bit easier. Like it wasn't copy paste, but it was here's a starting point that we're going to use year over year because then everybody can plan ahead so much more versus like sitting down at a conference table and looking around at each other and be like, well, guys, what do you want to do this year? Like we don't have to reinvent the wheel, right?
Well, one of the things I always talk to my clients about is hindsighting after you come out of a really big time period. And it's something that you do in the corporate world. You hindsight a floor set or a delivery. You go through and you look at your sales and your metrics, and then you make some notes on what could be better next year. And that's something that is oftentimes missing from small product-based businesses because, quite frankly, you don't have the time. Or it's not something you really think to do to document it. You just think, okay, next year I'll remember that. But one of the biggest, you know, tools that you can have is to take all your metrics and all the things that worked or didn't work last year, make a note of it. So then, you know, in the summer before Q4, you can pull that out and say, all right, I'm starting to think about all these things that Nina, Ruthie, and Kristen are telling me about. How does this apply to my business? And so what you're saying Victoria's Secret did, they took something that they know that worked and they mapped it out and they just continue to repeat it because it works for not only the people in the corporate office all the way out to the field. And it's just this streamlined cohesive thing. So if you're a business of one or a business of 2,500, the same thought process can work and it works for a reason.
Yeah. And what you said about, you know, hindsighting after holiday, I think another thing to think about as we're in the summer is where can you practice for the season. So like, how can you use the 4th of July weekend, which we just wrapped as this podcast is airing, or Labor Day weekend, or back to school season coming up as like a testing ground for what you might want to do Black Friday, Cyber Monday, because then you've tested it, you know how your customers react, you know from a messaging perspective what people respond to, and then you're not throwing spaghetti at the wall come October trying to figure out what you're going to do for Black Friday.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. So, you know, we're talking about content ideation and planning for Q4. And one of the things that, you know, I talk a lot about is planning your content with a framework. And from a product-based perspective, a lot of retailers that I see get really caught up in the product, like buy, and like not knowing exactly when or how to deliver value in your marketing content. And it's a balance, you know, especially in Q4. So as we're thinking about that, and that's almost another reason to start thinking about it right now is because if we can be creating content in July, September, October, that ramps up, that tells our brand story, that communicates our values, then we've got a bank of content that has nurtured the relationship with our buyer. So come holiday season, when they're ready to purchase gifts, I mean, there are brands that I shop with and I'm like, I don't really care what your products are. I just love you and I want to shop with you, you know, because they've nurtured that relationship with me all throughout the year. And so when I'm thinking about gift buying, I'm thinking about those companies and those brands first, right? And so I think that's something that from a planning perspective, as we plan out our branding and our content, we can get ahead of the game. And then Kristen, I think, you know, you've talked a little bit about product and assortment planning. What is it something that people can be doing like now to be able to think of their assortment from a brand perspective? And should they be thinking about their holiday assortment now?
I definitely think so. I think what gets tricky is that a lot of the brands that you know, you'd be buying from don't have their lines out yet. But I think the biggest thing that you can do is if you did not hindsight Q4, go back. Now in this, most of us have a slower season in summer, so you should have a little time in July. Go back, look at what sold, look at your top profit driving products, not just what sold the best, but the items that actually made money for you. Take a look at those and see what was the most productive. And then from there, I think that you should definitely be spending the time to work on your sales plan, what growth opportunity you have, what's been working so far year to date. Is there a type of product that you didn't really have in your business last year that's been trending that could translate into something for your holiday assortment? Take a look at that sales and profit plan and then start to figure out what kind of inventory you need to be able to hit that sales plan. So you don't necessarily need to be assorting your product right now, but just getting a framework for what that could look like from a financial investment perspective. So whenever you do go to market or you do start talking to your brands, you can hit the ground running and really just make quick decisions based on your profit needs.
Yeah. And speaking from a corporate marketing perspective, having sat in that chair, if you're the business owner or you're the buyer, that is the type of information as far as like what you're assorting for and what your inventory depth plans are that your marketing department would love to know. But they don't know it if you don't share that with them. You know, as the business owner or the buyer, you've got it probably in your head, what collections, what assortments are going to drive your volume. And then your marketing team, if you do have a marketing team, whether you outsource to an agency or it's an in-house team, they can only create content around that product if they know that that's the important product for them to talk about, right?
Yep. And even if it's just you, if you are your marketing person and you are the buyer and you are all the things, which so many of us are, it gives you the guidance and the framework as you ramp up into Q4. So as the wheels start falling off and you feel like, oh my gosh, Q4 is getting out of control, let me just reset. I feel chaotic. Let me just reset and look at where I started, what my sales plan were, what were the products I invested the most in. So it just is a kind of a reminder for yourself, even if you aren't, you know, fortunate enough yet to start passing things off or outsourcing. It's a guidance of, okay, if I don't sell these 10 products, I'm not going to hit that sales plan that I set for myself. It's just a nice framework for you.
And I think knowing that from a merchandising perspective, and I think Nina, you and I have kind of worked through some of this a little bit together in the past when it comes to e-commerce, and whether it's customer experience online, or even if you are doing paid ads, like ad allocation, like where you're allocating your dollars based upon your assortment and what your volume drivers are. Can you talk a little bit about how, as a digital marketer, like understanding those product priorities makes all the difference in the world for how you advise clients?
Yeah, 100%. So, I mean, from a paid ad perspective, you want to be able to allocate funds that are going to be driving your top, like Kristen said, profitability. So like 80% of your revenue is going to come from 20% of your keywords and things like that, right? That you're running for paid ads as a general rule. So you want to make sure that when you're allocating your budget and you're putting your money towards different campaigns, or if you are in a position where you have an agency that you're working with or a freelancer, et cetera, that they understand that this set of products over here is going to drive, 60% of our revenue in Q4. We need to make sure that our budget is going to accommodate that. You don't want to end up being, Black Friday and maxing out your budget and not showing up for West Coast because you didn't have that plan in place. And I would also say too, similar to sort of like that hindsight, that look back, look what did your traffic and website do leading up to Q4 and throughout Q4 last year? Make sure you have a really good understanding of those metrics. What was driving not only paid traffic, but organic traffic? How were people primarily getting to your website? Maybe it was from like you had a shout out at in a blog post and that was driving traffic. Don't count on that this year. What's going to be your top traffic driver this year? So those are the types of things to look at too, so you have a really good understanding of where your traffic is coming from, and then understanding X percentage of my revenue comes from paid, X percentage comes from organic, this percentage comes from direct, and so on and so forth. So you can really understand what your marketing dollars are going to do. So if you know that your organic is driving a big chunk of traffic, allocate a little bit more to content creation this year. Maybe you outsource that, or maybe you need to, you know, bring somebody on. Same for paid and so on. So yeah.
Yeah. And if you're a omnichannel retailer or a brick and mortar retailer, the local aspect of search and how people are finding you, whether it's on Yelp or Apple Maps or Google My Business, like all of those things, those are driving traffic in a way that you want to make sure you're considering well ahead of holiday, right?
100%. Local SEO is, I think, kind of like this forgotten thing because so many people run businesses online. But yeah, if you have a brick and mortar presence, you 150% need to be focusing on your local SEO. And the number one place to do that is with your Google business listing. So, and making sure that your name, address, phone numbers are consistent. But yeah, that's an awesome point because not only can you drive foot traffic to your brick and mortar, but if you also have an e-com presence for your website, you can kind of double down, right? Not only can you drive foot traffic, but if somebody's like, I don't have time, they can be directed right to your website and do that e-com order. So yes, I'm so glad you brought that up.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the other thing that I wanted to talk about is you were saying getting ahead of the content planning process with your volume drivers is content creation from a batching perspective. Mm-hmm. So I know that like, okay, I know my volume drivers. I know that I want to talk about this product, you know, let's say 6 times over the next 8 weeks, whatever it is. And then you go to sit down and create a post and you're like, oh, I already used that picture. Oh, I don't know what to say about this. I already said the things that I needed to say. And that's where having a framework and a plan for your content helps ahead of time, but then batching ahead of time makes a huge difference. So as you're like getting samples, because maybe that big volume driver doesn't hit until November, can you get a sample ahead of time? Can you get photos ahead of time? Can you get an assortment of photos ahead of time so that we're not using the same ones over and over again so that you're creating some variety with your content? I think those are the types of things that you see in hindsight of like, oh, I wish I had done that. And those are the types of things that you're going to say in next, you know, come January, oh, I got to remember this for next year. And then you don't because you have 8-10 months of things going on in your life.
Exactly.
Before you have to do it again. Right.
I always have a rule of thumb that I take my top volume drivers and I try to get 15 really good images or video clips of them. And I'm spending the majority of my photo shoot time shooting those top products. And then if I can't get to everything else, you can use the images from the maker or the supplier with giving them credit, of course. You don't want to do that with everything because you want to make sure that you have, you know, content that is your own, but really focus your energy on the top ones and get amazing shots. And then whenever you're going to batch, you can use multiple times, you know, throughout that. You can also repurpose the same image. People are not seeing it, which is why, you know, once it's posted on a still image, it's going to kind of go away. So you can use things over and over. And sometimes it's better to use your same image in multiple places a couple of times so that you're training the consumer to say, oh, this is her must-have item. And it's not confusing you whenever you're looking at the 25 other people that are targeting to try and get your business. So.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think what you also said about using the same image over and over again, but especially if you're a third-party retailer, an image that is unique to your business.
Yes.
So if you're buying things at market that other people are buying at market, like you've got to get photos of them, whether they're flat lays or on body or whatever it is that is unique to your business, because you want the consumer to even if it's not unique to your brand, you want them to feel like it is so that then you become the destination for that product.
Yeah. Yep, exactly.
Yeah. So, okay, before we wrap up and kind of talk about next steps and what retailers can be doing this holiday or this summer to prepare for Christmas, Nina, can you share with me maybe one other like quick and easy win and how it can prevent some of that holiday headache that comes if people don't think ahead or don't work ahead now?
Yeah. I mean, I think the first thing that I would tell people to do aside from looking at what was happening last year is, you know, go to google.com/trends and start typing in things that are relevant to your business. Like, you know, if you are like gifts for moms predominantly or whatever your target audience is or the specific products that you sell and start seeing where the trends are at. Pull those trends out to like the past 5 years and start to be like, okay, wow, gifts for moms really starts to pick up in mid-September. I need to be on it come then. And it's free. You can easily do it. And you can just start making notations on sort of the big topics that you cover and the big products that you sell. And you can start seeing patterns and make sure that your content is aligned with when people are searching for those.
Yeah. And you're serving then your audience in a way that is value add. You're helping them discover the content that they're looking for when they're looking for it. And you're building that authority by being one of the first people to talk about it.
Exactly.
I love that. All right, Kristen, what about you? One thing somebody can do to take away that they can start preparing to eliminate that holiday headache now.
There's so many things. I mean, I know I've already said it, but I can't stress it enough. Have a sales plan and from there start to break it down and really figure out, okay, if I have X amount of, you know, dollars to spend on marketing, how am I spending it? What's the right ways to be investing that to get the traffic? As Nina was talking about, you know, if you are trying to get traffic to your site, you know, to grow your sales by 25%, where is that traffic coming from? Are you investing, you know, in certain areas, new avenues to try out? And Ruthie, to your point, you can start testing those now to see, oh, someone is responding if I invest in a different spot. Start testing out now. I honestly feel like that's the biggest thing. It's getting your sales plan, figuring out your numbers so that you invest smart and start testing as much as you can to kind of get your feet wet with what your customers are looking for right now, because it's not going to be the exact same as last year.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say if there's one thing that I would have you do right now in July is get out a big calendar and wrap your head around what long form content and short form content you really want to be hitting on over the next 6 months. And I don't mean you have to sit down and write every single post for the next 6 months, but like high level, think about those ideas so that you've got a framework for when you do sit down to get into the nitty gritty details. And then you've already got a framework mapped out so you know what type of content you will need as far as photos, copy, images, things like that. And that'll just help you be more efficient along the way over the next 6 months. So we just shared, I feel like, a million topics with you guys, but we could also share a million more. I mean, I'm telling you, like, we're trying to keep this podcast under 30 minutes because we know you're busy and you got stuff to do, but we could pack in a lot more, which is why we are excited to announce the Retailer Roundtable Christmas in July workshop. So this July, the 19th through the 22nd, we will have a private group for you where we are going to deliver even more action steps that you can take to prepare for the holiday season in the summer, in July, Christmas in July, you guys get it. From a visibility perspective, from a product profitability perspective, from a content planning, branding, and marketing perspective. And because this is a private group program, we'll be taking your questions. So if you have specific things around marketing, visibility, product assortment, and branding that you have questions on, you know, maybe it's Pinterest, maybe like Nina said, it's local SEO. We will curate the content for you. So we definitely want to hear from you. So you can find all of the information about the Christmas in July workshop at retailerroundtable.com. Plus, follow us on Instagram for more tips and tricks and behind the scenes. DM us, send us your questions. We want to hear from you guys because we want to create tips and things that will support you. Retailer Roundtable on Instagram as well. And we'll link all of that in the show notes. So any last minute tips that you guys wanted to share before we send everybody back to their workshops?
I just think one piece of advice is take these next couple of weeks to really just give yourself rest. This is a slow time period for retailers, and use that as a good thing to fuel you. Learn as much as you can, soak up your business, and just get ready to have the best Q4 you've had. And we're going to help you get there. I'm so pumped.
Yeah. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, we hope you come grab a seat at the Retailer Roundtable. We are saving a spot for you. And thank you guys so much for being here today.
Woohoo.
Woohoo. Awesome.
Bye. Thanks. Can't wait.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Elevated Visibility Podcast. If you loved it and you want to support the podcast, please share it with others, your family, friends, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. I would appreciate it so, so much. Catch all the latest from me. You can follow me on Instagram at ninagibson.co. Until next time.